button cap which held the electrodes tightly against the skull. Then he applied dental cement to fix it. He untangled the 20 fine wire leads that came off the electrode array and pushed them to one side. "We can do the next one now," he said. At the end of the second placement, a thin, arcing cut was made with a knife along the scalp. To avoid important superficial vessels and nerves, the cut ran from the electrode entry points down the side of the ear to the base of the neck. There it deviated to the right shoulder. Using blunt dissection, Ellis opened a small pocket beneath the skin of the right lateral chest near the armpit. "Have we got the charging unit?" he asked. The charger was brought to him. It was smaller than a pack of cigarettes and contained 37 grams of the radioactive isotope plutonium-239 oxide. The radiation produced heat, which was converted directly by a thermionic unit to electric power. A Ken Beck solid-state DC-DC circuit transformed the output to the necessary voltage. Ellis plugged the charger into the test pack and did a last-minute check of its power before implantation. As he held it in his hand, he said, "It's cold. I can't get used to that." Ross knew layers of vacuum foil insulation kept the exterior cool, and that inside the packet, the radiation capsule was producing heat at 500 degrees Fahrenheit, hot enough to cook a roast. He checked the radiation to be sure there would be no leakage. The meters all read in the low normal range. There was a certain amount of leakage, naturally, but it was no more than that produced by a commercial color television set. Finally, he called for the dog tag. Benson would have to wear this dog tag for as long as he had the atomic charging unit in his body. The tag warned that the person had an atomic pacemaker and gave a telephone number. Ross knew that the number was a listing which played a recorded message 24 hours a day. The recording gave detailed technical information about the charging unit and warned that bullet wounds, automobile accidents, fires, and other damage could release the plutonium, which was a powerful alpha particle emitter. It gave special instructions to physicians, coroners, and morticians, and warned particularly against cremation of the body, unless the charger was first removed. Ellis inserted the charging unit into the small subdermal pocket he had made in the chest wall. He sewed tissue layers around it to fix it in place. Then he turned his attention to the postage-stamp-sized electronic computer. Ross looked up at the viewing gallery and saw the wizard twins, Gerhard and Richards, watching intently. Ellis checked the packet under the magnifying glass, then gave it to a scrubbed technician, who hooked the little computer into the main hospital computer. To Ross, the computer was the most remarkable part of the entire system. Since she had joined the NPS 3 years before, she had seen the computer shrink from a prototype as large as a briefcase to the present tiny model, which looked small in the palm of a hand, yet contained all the elements of the original bulky unit. This tiny size made sub-